Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, August the 1st. We've got a great show in store for you. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the start of a new month and the beginning of a new day. Father, we know you have big plans for us this day. Please continue to use us, work through us, and use us for anything that you need. Give us the strength, the grace that we need to deal with whatever faces us today. We ask you to speak through us at the station on the program this morning so that your words may be proclaimed. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we got a great show in store for you today, and I'm really glad you're able to join us on this Tuesday edition of the program. Jacob Popchak will be here. He's a voice that you know. You've heard him on the radio. He's going to be talking about God's presence in beauty and art. Very interesting topic, something that I'm interested in discussing with Jacob, so we're going to have him on. We'll talk about that and get his thoughts on the matter. And then regular guest Brian Mercier will be here to continue his series on the book, Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers. By my side, as always, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
Mr. Parker, good morning. Happy August to you.
Yeah, thank you. Happy August.
Frank Eliason on my other side here.
Good morning.
Happy August to you, my
friend.
Yay, I know. Well, that's good. That's the kind of attitude we need here on Spirit in the Morning.
I can't believe it's August already.
I know.
Next thing you know, it's going to be October and then December.
Here we go.
Don't start. Come on.
It's supposed to be uplifting. What's going on? All right, I'm going to share my theory. I always get in trouble for this. Now you got me started. I'm going to have to share. It's not my theory, but this is the theory of a guy I used to work with. And my family, they're probably cringing because they know what I'm going to say. But again, I didn't come up with this. My friend, a guy I used to work with, used to say that when we hit the 4th of July, the summer was halfway over. And I used to say, no, that's not true. And, you know, everybody at home gives me a hard time. And his theory was that the unofficial beginning of summer is Memorial Day.
Yep.
The unofficial end of summer is Labor Day, right? Even though that's not the official beginning and end of summer, so you take the halfway point, and that's the 4th of July. That's a pretty depressing thought if you like the warm weather.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, yeah, so there. Yeah, yeah, so, Mr. Parker, so,
but did you go with
that all the time? Put a positive spin on this.
I know, well,
no pressure there,
Dave.
I don't believe it
for a minute. No. Now, did you believe that, though, this coworker, former coworker? I mean, did you say, yeah, it sounds logical?
No, I said it sounds horrible. The 4th of July is the middle. The summer is half over at 4th of July.
I know. I can see how people look at it that way, but I don't.
But, you know, I was somewhere yesterday.
I'm just glad the kids go back to school soon.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's a popular statement. I'm going to let you...
Hey, Frank. Yeah, Frank's two for two.
Oh, come on. That's the way
parents... Yeah, really.
Parents sometimes feel this. You know, they get towards the end of the summer, and they're like, all right, get out.
Well, yes. We're grandparents, and we have two of our grandchildren, Maddie and Liam. And if you're listening, good morning, Maddie and Liam, and Barbara, who is picking up the slack. But they're visiting, but it's like having kids again. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
So that was very apt. That hearkened back to those days.
You can have my kids anytime.
All right. Just so long as you send food, okay?
Is that your phone? Anyway. Oh, wait a minute. I think I see a text coming in right now. All right.
Anyway.
I just want to say, guys, yesterday's show, I loved our guests yesterday. I love our guests every day, but Jimmy Akin and Tim Staples, really brought it yesterday on the program. Yes. I'm going to have them on again, and it's really great to be able to work with our friends at Catholic Answers.
Yes.
And this whole week, we have got some really amazing guests. And while I have a chance, I want to point this out. Again, Jacob Popchak today, first-time guest on the program. He's going to have a really new spin on the idea of seeing beauty in not just Christian music. I mean, seeing God's beauty in not just Christian music, which is really easy to see. We play Christian music on the program. It's very easy to see the Lord because he's mentioned all the time. But Jacob has a theory, and we're going to talk about this, that anytime you enjoy music, God is somehow present there. That's a really interesting way to look at life, right?
Yeah. And truthfully, God is in everything in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It's just taking the time to actually see where that is and, mm-hmm. you know, how it is impacting, especially in art. And I don't necessarily know we always appreciate that.
Oh, right, mm-hmm. right.
Absolutely.
And I do plan to ask Jacob the challenging questions, too. Like, well, how about music that might have offensive content? And somebody enjoys it. Is God really there? So, I mean, I think that's a question that has to be asked. I also want to mention that tomorrow on the show, we're going to have our friend Father Jeff Kirby back with us to talk about the Blessed Mother. And another first-time guest, Lee Strobel, is going to be here. Several years ago, he wrote a book called The Case for Christ. That book has now been made into a movie. Mm-hmm. It's now released in DVD. And just to let you know, I mean, this is a huge book. Huge project. Lee Strobel was a vehement atheist mm-hmm. whose wife converted. His wife became a born-again Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That affected his marriage in a negative way, and he was determined to go out and prove that Jesus Christ was not real. Mm-hmm. He was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune.
Wow.
Along the way, he discovered not only is Christ real, but he had a major conversion experience. And Frank and Dave, here's some words from our own Archbishop Charles Chaput about this new movie, The Case for Christ, based on Lee Strobel's book. The Archbishop says, "The Case for Christ is an engaging, beautiful story of a family coming to faith in Jesus Christ, made more compelling by its basis in real events. I warmly recommend it."
Mm.
So that's some high praise.
And he phrased that so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't. I mean, he could have said, "Well, here was this guy, you know,
no,
who was a non-believer, and he was, you know, he went after the faith, he went after our Lord." But no, I love the way he phrased that.
Yeah,
very positive.
So it's going to be a really interesting interview. So glad that we can get Lee Strobel on the program, and it follows up what Brian Mercier is going to be talking about on the show today as mm-hmm. well. He's going to be talking about a conversation he had with an atheist, and that's I think that's more and more. It's becoming more and more common. You hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Our own Deacon Rich Napoli was in that position at one time. And these people who may have said, "Well, I don't believe in God, I'm going to prove he's not real," they become, once they realize that he's real, they become very powerful witnesses.
I said it in yesterday's show. You know, they become more powerful than most cradle Catholics. And, you know, where we take things for granted sometimes, they don't.
That's right.
You know who it brings to mind?
Who's that?
Saul of Tarsus, who became St.
Yeah,
Paul.
Look at that.
Look at that. I mean, to me, that's the epitome of, you know, wow. He was persecuting and killing those bad Christians out there because of that. It was like a cult. And he had to defend his faith, the Jewish tradition.
That's right. And look at what the Lord had in mind for Paul, who went on to become St. Paul. I mean, Saul, who went on to become St. Paul. Also, on Thursday, we're going to have somebody here from Priests for Life in our Pro-Life Thursday segment. I'm still working on who that's going to be. I'll let you know. I have a person in mind, so we'll see that if we're going to get that person. Lisa Hendy will be here. And on Friday, we'll have an EWTN doubleheader. Michael Warsaw, CEO of EWTN, is going to be joining us. And Patrick Rice, who is a brand new EWTN radio host.
Encounter, yes, a new show that just premiered this past Saturday at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So it's 8 o'clock in the evenings on Saturdays and really looks towards those encounters with Christ. And it's a very good show.
Yep. So we're looking forward to it. Yes, sir, Mr.
Here,
Parker.
I was going to say, you said, well, I have somebody in mind. You always have somebody in mind. You have many somebodies.
I'm working on a lot of things behind the scenes, some of which I can reveal, some of which I can't reveal. So we'll just leave it at that.
I love the tease. All right.
I'll tell you. We're trying to get Alvita King on the program from Priest for Life.
They
just want to make sure she is available. We had Father Provone on last time. They've got so many great speakers, but
absolutely.
I've always wanted to have Alvita on. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. She does great work for Priest for Life. Not sure if it'll work out with her schedule, but they will have somebody here for us. And, you know, Father Pavone, he's always ready to do it.
Oh, he is.
But, I mean, the guy, he is amazing. From on the road, wherever he is, he is so willing to come on and help us out with our program.
I just think you're phenomenal. And just always having that, you know, who can I get?
It's the Holy Spirit, brother.
Yep.
And,
yep.
you know, yesterday's show was just outstanding.
Those guys. I mean, they.
So for those listeners who have not heard yesterday's show, you know, visit holyspiritradio.org or spiritinthemorning.com and listen to Monday's podcast. It is Catholic Answers Takeover. Just an incredible show yesterday.
And they were so great to want to come on and do it. They want to work more closely with us, and we're going to do more with Catholic Answers. They were promoting it on their end. We're promoting it, too. We're all working together.
Wow.
We're all in the same business, right, Mr. Parker?
Absolutely. Yes,
except,
we are.
Except you. I don't know what business you're in. You're in monkey business. That's what
I know.
You're
Whoa. I'm in grandpa business this week, heavily.
All right. I think it's time for the gospel before we're not discussing important matters, but let's do today's gospel from Daily Mass, Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." Now, there's obviously a very positive message here, and Dave Parker's going to give us that positive message.
I was just thinking about...
I mean, that's brutal what Jesus said.
Yes.
But
yes.
You know what, Dave, in all seriousness, he's... what he's saying here is evil exists because we have free will. Evil exists, and he's not going to wipe out evil.
I know.
So when we look out into the world and we see, why does God allow all these horrible things to happen? It's because of free will, and he doesn't want to just take us over and force us all to become robots.
Absolutely.
So he's as a result,
you're on fire, buddy.
We can do good things, but we can also do bad things. So don't panic.
Yes, yes.
The Lord is still in charge. You just do your thing, and a big message of this program is always, what can I do to make a difference?
And if you just remember in the last couple of weeks, I mean, there have been a lot, I mean, in church, in mass, a lot of the weeds, the seeds, you know? And so where do we fall? I mean, I'm still trying to get my weeds, you know, under control, you know?
Well, you know, that's a good point, Dave, because we all have some weeds in our own lives, too.
Yes.
So we have to try to get rid of those weeds and let the goodness come out. And that's what we all try to do. Just take one day at a time and do what you can to spread the good news in some way today. When we come back, Jacob Popcheck's going to join us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Jesus.
am alone. Yes, when I am alone, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. Well, it is a pleasure right now to invite a good friend on the program, Jacob Popcheck. He is a nationally recognized Catholic speaker. He's an award-winning artist, and he's here to talk about art and beauty for the everyday Catholic. Now, don't panic in case you're somebody who's not into art and beauty. Wait till you hear this message. This is going to be an ongoing series on Spirit in the Morning. Jacob Popcheck, my friend, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, brother.
Hey, art and beauty sounds a little boring at first. What's going on there? Why should Mr. Joe Catholic in the pew care about art and beauty?
Well, I think beauty and art and these kinds of things can leave one of two tastes in our mouths if we're not prepared to hear the message. The first is that we might think, oh, this is a very academic thing. This is for professors in tweed suits to, you know, wander over in the back of a museum someplace.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we might think, oh, this is a real liberal thing for, you know, a bunch of people with pink and green hair to talk about an abandoned warehouse someplace. And I would say both are very far from the truth. The fact is, we as Catholics, no matter where we're coming from in our spiritual journey, are called to see God's creation and also his truth through three spokes on a wheel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're used to two of those, truth and goodness. Truth refers to the actual teachings of the church, so to speak, and the ways God has communicated himself to us. And goodness refers to the virtue that we are called to both live out and also to promote in the world.
Yeah.
Beauty, though, is actually the third spoke on that wheel. These three things are used to evangelize. They're used as a litmus test for our own spiritual walk. They're used for every aspect of how God relates to the world and how we relate back him, how we relate back to him through the church.
Hmm.
So on every single level, truth, goodness, and beauty are vital to the Christian life and to the spiritual journey. Now, even that, I know, sounds so heady. So let me put it this way.
Right.
Have you ever been moved by a sunset? Have you ever heard a song that really stirred your heart? Have you ever seen a movie that stuck with you? Have you ever witnessed a liturgy, right? All the various prayers and the pomp and circumstance that goes into the Mass or the various aspects of the ways we worship God in church. Have you ever looked into the eyes of another person and been moved by how beautiful you found them? All of these things I'm mentioning are just examples on a broad spectrum of the experience of what we as Catholics call beauty with a capital B, that is being so moved visually, auditorily, whatever it happens to be, being so moved by our senses that we have a transcendent experience, not just of how God is communicating with us, but of the heart of God himself. Meaning the beauty is, in fact, the most practical of the three spokes I referenced in the opening of this. You know, it takes a while to truly understand goodness and morality and virtue. It takes a while to truly understand the truth of the Catholic faith. But there is not a person alive who has not had an experience of beauty on every conceivable level. And for every human being, we have all understood at one point or another what it is to be moved by something outside of us because of how beautiful it is. And we as Catholics believe that that is actually a call from God.
You know, Jacob, I really like the way you're tying this in together. And I'm going to ask you some questions, because as you're speaking, some things come to mind. Number one, I see a beautiful sunset. Definitely, I can see the Lord in that. And I've often said, and I'm not a big nature guy, to be honest with you. I grew up in the city. I was born in Philly. I'm not a big nature lover, walking out in the woods, and that's not my thing. But I can appreciate the beauty of a sunset. In fact, on the way to the studio many times, I leave early enough that I do see the sunrise or sunset as well. I can absolutely see God in that. And often I'll thank him for, wow, Lord, thank you for that beautiful sunrise. I fly a lot when I travel and I speak around the country. The other day I'm in the air watching the clouds saying, hey, man, that is amazing. Lord, good job with the clouds. I get that. A beautiful liturgy you mentioned. No problem. But Jacob, I'm a fan of classic rock too. I like good music, not all Christian music. We play a lot of Christian music on the show, but sometimes I enjoy some good classic rock music. I like it. I have a hard time seeing God's beauty in that music. Is it there?
I would say it is. And before anyone freaks out, kind of hear me out here, all right? The first thing I'd say is that you're right to be able to see beauty and the sunset and the sunrise and all those things you just mentioned, because that's God's creation, right? We should be able to see him there.
Yeah.
But we are also God's creation. We as human beings are, in fact, God's best creation, the Bible tells us. He saw us and he said we were very good, whereas the rest of creation was just good. And the Bible also tells us that we were made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. That means a lot of different things that we don't have nearly enough time to get into, and which furthermore I probably don't have any right to talk about. The deep theology of that is beyond my pay grade. But
right.
What I can speak to is the fact that we are all called to create as God has created. And anything that we create honestly and as an honest expression of our God-given humanity, and even more so, as an expression of how we see him and who he is to us, is therefore beautiful. Now, what does this mean practically? Well, it means that any artist of any kind has the power to praise God with anything they create, insofar as it is honest about the human experience and about the experience of knowing and loving God.
Right.
So, for instance, if you're listening to a classic rock song and you feel really moved by it, you got to look at why. Why am I moved by this? What is this song about? What part of my soul is this touching? And then you've got to realize, okay, well, if this song is touching my heart, if this song is moving me in some direction positively, if this song makes me feel like, hey, you know, I'm questioning this part of my own life, or I'm thinking about God, or this song gives me a new insight in some wound that I'm struggling
right,
with.
Right.
And this perhaps, you know, sounds crazy, but it shouldn't, because I think we've all been there. We've all had that response to a movie or a song or a play, or whatever it happens to be, a painting, right?
Yeah.
We've all had that response to something. And what we've got to realize is that's not incidental. That's not accidental. That doesn't just happen. Nothing just happens. If something touches our heart in that profound way, it's because God is using that to touch our heart. God is using that song, that play, that movie, that book, that painting, that whatever it is, to touch our heart personally and specifically. And as Catholics believe, beyond his using that media to give us an experience of transcendent beauty, so to speak, we believe beyond that, he's not just giving us the moment of transcendent beauty. He is the moment of transcendent beauty. God is the fullness of goodness, the fullness of truth, and the fullness of beauty. So when we have that kind of a transcendent experience, when we have that moment where we're like, yes, yes, oh, I feel this song, oh, yes, I feel this movie, oh, yes, I know what this thing is trying to say, and it brings something good out of my heart. When we have that moment, we're actually experiencing a moment of growing proximally closer to the genuine and living heart of the living God.
You know, brother, this is really powerful. I'm taking this in, and I hope as you're listening to this program over the air, you understand what Jacob is saying. The reason this is so amazing, the reason that this is such a powerful statement that you're making, is because I think, and Jacob, correct me if I'm wrong, we're sort of running out of time, but we'll explore this next time. But oftentimes, I think we compartmentalize God. We put him in our church bucket. Yeah, we can find him in church. I can find him when I open my prayer book. I can find him when I open my Bible, whatever it may be. But he's also in so many more things. So if I'm listening to a piece of music or looking at a certain piece of artwork and I enjoy it, that's God in there too. Am I on target with that?
Absolutely. I would say that you are. And that's not to say that different kinds of media and different kinds of art can't communicate God to different levels, can't be different levels of technical proficiency. And that's not to say that, you know, Bruce Springsteen can put together something as good as what's in the Sistine Chapel, so to speak, or something, I should perhaps say, as capital B beautiful, as conveying of truth. But nevertheless, you know, as Pope St. John Paul II says, the purpose of art is nothing less than the upliftment of the human spirit. Bishop Robert Barron says that beauty is the arrowhead of evangelization, right? The greatest thinkers of our church recognized that beauty wasn't just an opportunity for an experience of God. Mm-hmm. Beauty is God. And wherever you find beauty, you've got to turn that over to God and say, okay, Lord, I don't know why I'm having this transcendent experience right now, listening to classic rock, looking at this painting, watching this movie, you know, hearing this recording, whatever it is. But you know why I'm having this response.
Right.
Pull out of me whatever desire, pull out of me whatever message it is that you're trying to get me to know, so that I can get to know you more deeply through whatever piece of media or art I'm viewing and loving right now.
Wow. Jacob, we are just about out of time, my brother. We have got to continue this discussion, and we will do that. But for now, where can we find you online in case we want to get in touch with you, maybe bring you out to speak, find out some more about your work? Where is the best place online?
For ministry, speaking, blog, and apostolate resources, I encourage listeners to check out my website dedicated to those purposes, jhpministry.com. Or to view all of my artwork and my full portfolio in that regard, check out jacobpopcheck.com. That's jacobpopcak.com. Sounds like there's an H, but there's no H.
Right. Awesome, my friend. All right, we're going to continue this discussion next time on Spirit of the Morning. God bless you, Jacob Popcheck. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, brother. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio news update. Legal experts say that President Donald Trump's threat to stop billions of dollars in government payments to insurers and force the collapse of Obamacare might ultimately backfire. Legal experts say that the president would be handing the health insurance industry a solid court case against the government, undermining leverage to compel Democrats to negotiate. And Trump could get the blame if premiums jump by 20%, as expected after such a decision. In pro-life news, a new study from researchers at Kansas University has found that unborn babies are able to distinguish between different languages as early as a month before they are born. The study found that unborn children, at an average of 8 months in the womb, are able to distinguish the difference between someone speaking in English and someone speaking in Japanese, even if the languages were being spoken by the same person. 24 pregnant women and their in-utero babies took part in the study conducted by a team from KU's Department of Linguistics and published in the journal NeuroReport. According to the researchers, these findings imply that language development may in fact start in utero. And in Catholic news, Pope Francis yesterday visited his brother Jesuits at their General Curia house in Rome, celebrating the feast of their order's founder, St. Ignatius of Loyola. Earlier in the day, Pope Francis sent a tweet honoring St. Ignatius and asking for his prayers, telling his 35 million followers, quote, "Like St. Ignatius of Loyola, let us be won over by the Lord Jesus and, led by him, place ourselves at the service of others." Pope Francis has made a point to visit the Jesuits on the feast of their founder every year since his election. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
My name is Frank Elias. I'm the Director of Operations for Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you for 18 years. We are blessed to serve you. As a listener-supported radio station, our success has always been based on the prayers, financial support of our listeners, but also the ideas and suggestions that they have for us. We're always looking to improve the listening experience. Please feel free to email me at frank@holyspiritradio.org. Thank you again for your continued support, and God bless you and your family.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 1st. Today we celebrate Saint Alphonsus Liguori. After losing an important case, young attorney Alphonsus Liguori entered the priesthood. He went on to become one of the greatest moral theologians in the history of the Church and the patron of moral theologians. After ordination, Alphonsus concentrated on preaching parish missions, hearing confessions, and forming Christian groups. He founded the Redemptorist Congregation in 1732. He envisioned it as an association of priests and brothers living a common life. Its mission was to imitate Christ and preach the gospel to peasants in rural areas. This saint's great pastoral reforms were in the pulpit and the confessional. He replaced the pompous oratory of the time with simplicity and the stern religious practices of the day with kindness. For some time, he himself suffered many scruples, fears, and temptations. Alphonsus was made a bishop at age 66. Though he wrote much in the field of moral theology, his books Glories of Mary and Visits to the Blessed Sacrament were most influential. He died just shy of his 91st birthday in 1787 and was canonized in 1839. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you now. Outside of you, knocking down doors I shouldn't be going through. But I'm so tired, I'm so tired. You take my burdens off of my shoulders. You break the lies that hold me back. So I know it's yours.
starts with me. I really want to change the world. Oh, I really want to sing your song. Oh, but I know revival's got to start with me. I really want to change the world. Oh, I really want to sing your song. Oh, but I know revival's got to start with me. You're my revival song. You start where I belong.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Starts With Me by Tim Timmons. I think that's a thought for all of us to remember today. If you want to change the world, if you want to introduce Jesus Christ to those in the world who maybe don't know him, it all starts with you. So we all need to be aware of who the Lord is going to send our way and be ready to share our witness with those around us. We are joined now by our friend Brian Mercier. Brian's a regular guest on the program. He is a Catholic speaker. He is an author. He's written the book, Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Nonbelievers. You can find him online at CatholicBrian.org, and that's B-R-Y-A-N, CatholicBrian.org. Hey, Brian, good morning, my friend. Brian? Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Ah, that's much better. You know, Brian, I find that when the slider is turned up, it works a lot better. Works. So these interviews go better when I can hear you. You know what I mean? I'm strange like that. But hey, brother, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing good, Brian. Before we talk about this conversation you had with a militant atheist, I mean, that's we've got our atheists, we've got our skeptics, but militant atheists, I mean, that's. It's kind of scary when I hear that. Brian, how many atheists or supposed atheists do you run into? Does this happen all the time to you?
Actually, people ask me that question, and I always answer that it does happen quite often.
Wow.
That I run into atheists and other skeptics and non-believers. However, with that being said, the majority of the atheists, quote-unquote, that I talk to, after speaking with them, I find out that they're not really atheists. They're more agnostic.
Right.
They're not
right.
really sure if God exists. They really haven't put that much time or effort into the question of whether God exists. Or they're just lazy and they don't care whether
right.
God exists or not. And so they're more somewhere in between. They're definitely not of the I'm an atheist brand,
mm-hmm.
usually.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we talk, and I do want to get into the details of this conversation you had with this militant atheist, the fact that you seem to run into so many people, is it because you're praying to the Holy Spirit to lead you to people? Is it because you are proclaiming your faith and it's pretty obvious you're a believer? Or do you think it's a combination of both of those things?
It's a combination of both. I definitely pray, and I used to pray a lot more. I used to pray every single day for the Holy Spirit to lead me to people
wow.
who either need his mercy, need his love, or need to know his truth. Also with that, you know, I'm pretty open my faith. I wear religious T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
so I'm pretty approachable. I somehow try to weave God into situations and conversations
right.
that I have with people. You know, and at least don't shy away from it. So people know where I come from, and they can always approach me if they ever have any questions.
And I think that's a good point for all of us to consider. Are we being a witness? You know, a lot of times we're afraid. We don't want to confront people, but by wearing a religious T-shirt, by wearing a crucifix, by letting people know where you stand, I think you're going to invite the questions and, you know, you're going to open up the possibilities for evangelization. So I think it's really good that you do that, and I think we can all learn a lesson from that. Okay, Brian, you have this conversation with this militant atheist, and the premise of the atheist premise is that the Catholic Church is against science. I think this is a common misperception. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. I think a lot of people have been fed the myth that the Catholic Church is against science, and it's absolutely a myth. However, if people actually study history, and if they study the history of the Catholic Church, what they will find is that the Catholic Church has been one of the most pro-science religious organizations and non-religious institutions in the entire world, in history. I always tell people that the Catholic Church has forwarded and advanced science more than most or maybe any other institution on earth. It's amazing how much the Catholic Church has done in the world of science.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about this story that you tell in your book with this atheist. How did it unfold? How did it start? And where? How did it develop? How did the conversation develop?
Good question. It actually started because I was reading a book, and it was a book about called The Catholic Church and Science.
Ooh.
And the subtitle was Answering Questions and Exposing the Myth. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the seven big myths, kind of like what you just said, that people, you know, think that the Catholic Church is against science. However, he saw this and he's like, whoa, that's an interesting title. What's it about? And so I basically told him about the myths that people believe and how the Catholic Church is very pro-science. And he was fascinated by it. And he wanted to know more. And he said, well, what about, you know, the Big Bang? And he started asking me questions. And that's kind of how we got into it.
Brian, what about if you don't know all the answers? I think that intimidates some people as they're listening to this, thinking that I wouldn't know how to defend the Catholic Church against the whole idea of the militant atheist and somebody who really is very scientific-minded. What do you do if you don't know how to answer some of these questions?
Well, the first thing I would say is to be a good example.
Okay.
A lot of atheists have come closer to God and have come closer to converting to the Catholic Church when I speak to them, not always because of what I say, but because of what I do, because I'm extremely nice and loving, and I'm not yelling and screaming in their face, but I actually radiate, or so they say, an authentic witness, an authentic, there's something different about me, they say, and,
right.
you know, it's very intriguing to them. But secondly, it's okay that we don't have all the answers. And in fact, sometimes it's good not to have all the answers because we get to go home and research it and look it up, and we grow and we become stronger, and we can go out the next time and know even more and then even more and then even more. So every failure is a success in the future, and that's pretty much how I started. Lots of failures, and eventually you know, I started knowing more than I didn't know.
And would you say, I mean, I don't know if you can categorize your conversations with some of these people who claim to be atheists. Are they nasty? Do the people come at you? Do they attack you? Or do you find that these are pretty normal people, pretty decent people, not always on the attack, but just they just don't believe or they're questioning in God's existence? Can you categorize the type of person you encounter who says they don't believe in God?
Absolutely. I would say it's about half and half.
Okay.
I would say half are the more agnostics are more searching. They have questions. And the more agnostic to atheists, they're a little bit more forward. Sometimes they're in your face. Like this militant atheist was very forward. He was very aggressive. He was kind, but he really challenged you. He really thought, you know, believing in God was something just ridiculous. And I find that it's all up to me. When I speak to these people, I can retaliate and like, and the conversation will escalate. Or I can be completely loving, completely kind and patient, give them good answers, reasonable, logical answers. And I find that all the conversations in my book were all cordial. We never got into screaming or yelling. And it's all because it's how you do it.
And I think you're making a really good point. It really does depend on me. It depends how I react to the person. The person can yell at me, and I can either yell back or I can try to be a rational, kind human being. Now,
Luke, if you don't mind me saying
quick. No, please.
Throughout the conversation, you know, I was giving him good, logical, deductive proof of the existence of God.
Yep.
And certain points, other Christians were getting frustrated that he wasn't getting it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would just blurt out things like, hey, you just have to have faith. And this would really just get him, like, he would go, like, red in the face.
Oh,
and he would spin around and be like, hey, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Whoa.
At least Brian's giving a lot of proof. He's giving science. He's giving all of this stuff. You know nothing. And so he would start yelling at them.
Really?
And because they didn't understand him and where he was coming from. And I think that's important.
It is. Now, also, you bring up the point that at one part of the conversation, he turned to you and said, well, if you're telling me that God exists, the burden of proof is on you. How do you respond to that?
That is a big objection from atheists, and I responded by saying the burden of proof is not on me because you were the one who first said that God does not exist. So therefore, the burden of proof is on both of us. Both sides are making claims. One says God exists. One says God doesn't exist. So both need to have evidence to be able to back that up. If you're ever an atheist and you don't believe in God, you have to have some evidence as to why you don't believe in God.
You know, Brian, it would seem to me that that's a very effective position to take. How does that – what is the general response when you say that? Well, no, the burden of proof is not just on me. It's on you, too. Prove to me that there is no God. How does that go over?
Well, about 50-50, because one of the taglines of atheists is that the burden of proof is on the Christian.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the things they're taught to say, and they say over and over and over again. So when we turn the tables – they don't like that, and they're not usually sure what to say.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead. I would agree. I would think that would shock them. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not used to hearing this. I don't know how to prove that God doesn't exist.
Well, exactly. What they'll say is you can't prove a negative, but you can prove a positive. So go ahead, prove the positive that God exists. And I said, that you can't maybe prove that God exists scientifically either way, but you still have to have evidence as to why you don't believe in God. You need to show me why it's more reasonable that God doesn't exist than why he does exist.
Brian, before we have about 2 minutes left. Before we let you go, I want to ask you why, if the atheist, and again, this is generalization, if the atheist doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe God exists, why does he care? Why does he even want to engage in a discussion about this? Is it that maybe he really does care, or maybe he does believe God exists, even though he won't admit it?
That is a great question, and I would say it's different for different people.
Right.
Some people don't want God to exist because of their lifestyle.
So
they fight against it a lot, because if God did exist, they'd have to change their life and the way they're living, and they may actually have to obey someone who's higher than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Other people don't want God to exist or aren't sure if God exists because they've been hurt by the church, they've been abused, or something bad happened. So really, that's kind of what they're fighting against, is the abuse. There's a whole litany of reasons of why people fight against the existence of God, but in reality, you really can't pin it down to one.
Okay. In the 30 seconds we have left, how did the story turn out?
The story actually turned out well. I mean, I gave him lots of arguments that he couldn't answer, and he actually said that he enjoyed the conversation with me, and he hopes to be able to do it again sometime.
And did you ever follow up? Did you ever hear from him again?
No, I've never seen him again since, but it was a great conversation, I'll be honest.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate these stories because you give us some really good insight into how to deal with these people who say, why do you believe in God? If we want to maybe get a copy of the book or bring you out to speak, the best place to do it is?
You can look on my website, www.CatholicBryan.org. And you can also find my book on Amazon.com.
That sounds great, brother. I will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Brian Mercier, thank you so much for joining us once again on Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Brian Mercier, why do you believe in God? Catholic conversations with skeptics and non-believers. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
Love is what we come here for.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 13:18, Jesus reveals the parable of the sower to his disciples. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. The evil one comes and steals what is sown in the heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but has no roots, and falls away with the first tribulation that comes along. The seed sown on thorns is the one who hears the word, but anxiety and the lure of riches chokes the word. The seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it and bears much fruit. So why doesn't he sow seed on just good soil and always reap a great harvest? Well, he actually sows the seed many times in our lifetime. Through the suffering we endure, we are able to grow in virtue and eventually reap the harvest. This is all calculated to help us grow in our love for him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zim's telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble, Spirit,
Spirit,
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
But I'm trading on today if you ask me to. There's no-
Ah, that'll wake you up, won't it? That's Reuben Studdard, former American Idol winner with Amazing Grace. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Very quickly, let's do a look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area at the moment. 72 degrees at the Philadelphia International Airport. Today, sunny with a high near 91. Tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight, then a slight chance of showers between midnight and 1 a.m., partly cloudy otherwise, with a low around 72. Wednesday, chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon. Then, other than that, partly sunny with a high near 90. Currently in Malvern, it's 62 degrees. In Doylestown, 64 degrees. Mm. And in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, we have 64 degrees. All right, time very quickly for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Sometime afterward, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not fear, Abram. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. Now, Dave Parker, in my book, yes. Stop Worrying and Start Living, this is the verse that comes from the book.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that when I got my new iPhone, I'm holding it up here,
yes.
There's a shield that goes over mm-hmm. the front of it. It's mm-hmm. it's really a glass shield. It gets stuck onto the front of it so that if it falls and breaks, mm-hmm. the glass is designed to break and it protects the screen of mm-hmm. the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens with us and with Abram when the Lord said, I am your shield.
Great analogy.
And he's shielding mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. today. So when we go out into the world, into often a nasty world. We just had a conversation with Brian Mercier. He talked mm-hmm. about his encounter with a militant atheist. And honestly, we have people around us who don't mm-hmm. want to believe in God, who don't want to really accept God's law mm-hmm. in their mm-hmm. lives. And sometimes exactly. it can get a little nasty, and sometimes we can just deal with problems and troubles and all kinds of difficulties. Mm-hmm. I think the thought to remember today is the Lord is our shield.
Absolutely.
And he does protect us.
Mm-hmm. Two thoughts. Well, one, although the analogy of your cell phone and the cover, when it shatters, it absorbs the shock. But mm-hmm. I think God will absorb the shock but not break.
Yep.
You
very
know?
Good.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
Then I'm thinking also, did this militant atheist wear a T-shirt? I mean, or was it on his forehead?
I wonder.
Like, yeah, who knows, you know? But you never know. That's the point. You never know.
And to me, that, and in Brian's book, he refers to him as a militant atheist. To me, that's kind of scary. You know, yeah. I picture a guy all dressed in black and, like you said.
He's all tatted.
Right,
you know?
Right. but that's not always the case. We can meet some really nice people.
That maybe might not be a great analogy, so I don't want to offend anybody. That where it has tattoos, but you never know. I don't want to stereotype. You know?
But we're going to have on the program tomorrow, Lee Strobel will be here. He's a guy that set out to prove that God doesn't exist, and he ended up realizing, hey, I'm wrong about this.
Yeah.
And he does exist, and he gave his life over to the Lord, mm-hmm. and he's been...
How beautiful is
right,
that?
Right, he's been sharing the good news ever since. So we never know. Let's all just try to remember that as we go out there. The Lord is with us, you know, mm-hmm. and that's... I always say that at the end of the program, it's not just a catchy saying. It really is true. The Lord is with us. He is by our side. And if we pray for him to send people mm-hmm. to us today, mm-hmm. he will. Mm-hmm. He'll send people to us. And just remember, when you meet these people, whoever they are, in the store, wherever you go, just try to be nice to them. Start with that. You don't necessarily, Dave, have to pull out your Bible.
Exactly.
But just smile, maybe be kind.
Yeah. And again, our reaction is means everything. You know, if we become as militant as they are and then we get into loggerheads with this person— mm-hmm. we're going nowhere.
Exactly. So we can dictate how the conversation will go. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Remember, the Lord is with you wherever you go. So just turn around. Make sure you say hi. Keep in touch with him throughout the day. On behalf of Dave Parker and Frank Eliason, I'm Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. We'll talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.